We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. You're saying, why are we reading this for Father's Day? I will pull it together, I promise you. You think some verses can only be used at certain times of the year. God's word has great message to us here today. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph adopted and raised Jesus because God had determined that Joseph was the right man for the job. What was it about Joseph that made him right for the challenge of raising the Savior? That's what you and I will look at today for this Father's Day. Now, I always love to start off with stories, so let me give you this one. Several years ago, a third grade class at the Ben Franklin Christian School was given an assignment to do something over this thing called spring break by their teacher. Now, that's a tough assignment. And the class, there was this young boy. His name was Danny Dutton. And in his homework assignment, they were asked to explain God. Think about this. Third graders being asked to explain God. But that was their homework assignment. Now, it was a heavy lift to explain God, but her students did a wonderful job in the assignment. The teacher was so proud of her students that she posted some of her students' answers for all to read on the internet. And as I read some of them, it brought a smile to my face. The simple and honest answers of these young people. But of all the students, Danny Dutton, who was 8 years old, his were some of the cutest. And so I'm going to give you some of the things he wrote. You always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. You don't skip church to do something that you think will be more fun, like going to the beach, because that's wrong. And besides, the sun does not come out until noon anyway. Okay, this is an eight-year-old boy. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you're going to be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you like to camp. But God can. I like that one. It's good to know he's around. When you're scared in the dark, or when you can't swim very good and you get thrown into the deep end by the big kids. That must happen to him. He said one of God's jobs is making people. Now, he makes them to replace the ones who die, so there'll be enough people to take care of the things on the earth. But he doesn't make grown-ups, he just makes babies. And I think that's because they're smaller and easier to make. That way, he doesn't have to take a valuable time teaching them to walk and talk. He just leaves that to mothers and fathers to do. I think this guy's got some of this right. Now, the last part is of the boy's homework caught my attention. That's what mothers and fathers role is raising the children. Apparently, that kind of thinking does not always occur to people in this modern world that you and I live in. There are many people who actually say they don't need fathers. A researcher noted that on Mother's Day and Father's Day, phone calls were a popular way to show their love for their parents. It's especially evident on Father's Day, though. Last year, 2024, Verizon indicated that more people called their moms on Mother's Day than called their father on Father's Day. And the caller spent significantly more time on the phone with their mothers than with their dads. On Mother's Day, they spent 137.5 million more minutes talking to their mothers than to their fathers on Father's Day. That works out to be 2.3 million hours more talking to mothers than to fathers. Now, worldwide, they spent 122 million phone calls were made on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Father's Day is a lot less. We'll just leave it at that. I don't want to disappoint the fathers. Now, how many of you remember the days of landlines? Some of you, right? Remember those? Father's Day held the record to this day on the most collect calls of any day of the year. Look it up on the internet. It holds the record of the most collect calls. Now, Mother's Day is a joyous occasion, brimming with flowers and jewelry and breakfast in the bed. Well, Father's Day kind of seems tacked on. Kind of a, you get a participation trophy if you're a father. At least, but you know, that doesn't happen in this church. Today we're going to focus on a particular biblical father. A stepfather named Joseph, who got more than a participation trophy for his part in this story. Joseph was chosen to be the stepfather of Jesus by God. God chose him because of the kind of man he was. Now, nowhere in the pages of the Bible, let me say that again, nowhere on any page of the Bible are any words of Joseph recorded for us to read today. He's not, no, none of his words are recorded. No words. We sitting here today, but can actually learn a lot from him, even with no words recorded. The Bible records his actions, what he did for Mary and for Jesus. God chose him to be the earthly stepfather of his only son. God knew what would happen to the family. He knew that Mary would be found pregnant before the actual marriage ceremony. He knew that Herod would order to kill him. He knew that they would have to flee to Egypt. He knew that Joseph would be called to handle all this. God knew that Joseph was the man to be the earthly father for Jesus. So today we're going to join in as we look at him again. Now we're told that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. I love that word, betrothed. You don't hear that anymore, do you? Being betrothed was more than just a marriage engagement that we do today. In the ancient Jewish culture, betrothal was a binding commitment that signified that the couple were legally married to each other. But the final marriage ceremony would happen later. So Joseph and Mary are technically married, but they haven't shared their wedding night and wedding bed yet. And this is where the story gets a little ticklish. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 tells us that the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph didn't know that. He didn't realize that the child was from the Holy Spirit. All he knew that Mary was and him were legally married. And now Mary's pregnant. And Joseph knows it's not his child. And now Joseph has a problem. According to Mosaic law, Mary should have been stoned to death. But once the Romans took over Israel, they couldn't do that anymore. Rome had abolished the death penalties of the Mosaic law, so now the only option was divorce. Bit of trivia for you now. That's the only option was divorce. Could be messy or could be mean. Now, if Joseph had been like other men of his day, he could have made a very public spectacle of Mary, and she would have been put to shame and her family. It'd been terrible. He could have put her on trial for adultery because that's what she legally deserved. But we're told that Joseph was a just man and unwilling to put her to shame to resolve resolve to divorce her quietly. Then you can read that for yourself in chapter 1 and 19. This is important. You see, this is one of the reasons God chose Joseph to be Jesus' stepfather. He was a just man. So how do we know that he was a just man? Well, Matthew tells us because he didn't want to hurt Mary. He didn't want to put her to shame. Now bear in mind, as far as Joseph knew, Mary had committed adultery on him before they came for the wedding day. She'd betrayed him. And if Joseph had been like a lot of the guys, he would have sought revenge. He would have had sought to publicly embarrass her. Because in most Jewish minds, that's what she deserved. She had embarrassed him. Everybody in his family knew that she's pregnant. Tongues were a wagon in their towns. But Joseph wasn't out for revenge. And he wasn't out to hurt Mary. Why not? Because he was a just man. And God tells us that a just men don't seek revenge. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 19, we read, "Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." If you're a father, a stepfather, a grandfather, an uncle, or your male role model for any young person, you must not seek vengeance. Especially against family members that you think have offended you. You end up being the wrong kind of role model for young folks because you've taken matters into your own hands. And that's not what a Christian man should do. That's not what a Christian woman should do. Now, you notice it's a Father's Day sermon, but it applies both ways, right? Nobody should do it if you're a Christian. So God chose Joseph because he was a just man. But God also chose Joseph because he was an obedient man. One person noted that Joseph and Mary were betrothed, and before they came together, his husband and wife, Joseph found Mary pregnant. And in a dream, I would have took a lot more than a dream. But in a dream, an angel of the Lord came to him and told him that because Mary was pregnant, it was of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph should take her as a wife. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. An angel of the Lord told Joseph, that Mary would bear a son, and he should give him the name Jesus, for he'll save his people from his sins. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, then those days a decree went out with Caesar Augustus, all the world should be registered. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. He went up to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of David. Now that's chapter 2 and 4 of chapter 2 of Luke, verse 4. God's law decreed that on the eighth day, a boy child was to be brought to the temple and circumcised. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. Jesus' life was threatened by Herod, and a voice from heaven told him to take Jesus and Mary and head out to Egypt. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. After some time in Egypt, a voice from heaven told Joseph to return to Israel. Herod was dead and no longer a threat to Jesus. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. But Herod's son was now the ruler and in Judea, and he was a very cruel man. So therefore, the heavenly voice directed Joseph to go to the town of Bethlehem. Not to go to Bethlehem, but rather to Nazareth. I had to get my words right. Not to Bethlehem, but to Nazareth. What did Joseph do? He obeyed. Then the law required that Joseph and Mary go to Jerusalem every Passover. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. We have that recorded in the Bible. Now, what is interesting is we never read anything that Joseph said, but we know what he did. And what did Joseph do? He obeyed. Joseph is the embodiment of this funny meme from the internet. It shows a series of several doors. One is red and the caption reads, "I will always content with what happens, for I know that God chooses is better than what I choose." It's true. Anybody in here ever made a wrong decision? Ever wish you could go back in time and change something? God knows where you're going to go. So I got a story for that. Let me get to it, but I can't do it until I get this covered. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 23, God makes this promise. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in the way I command you, that I might be with you. When we obey God, things turn out well. If not, well, that's not good. So I'm going to give you the not good. I remember a story of an inner city man who took his family down to Florida to visit some friends. They lived in the wild section of the state. I read that, I'm like, he lives in the wild section of the state, huh? I kept reading, and what he did is he lived in the countryside of the state, right? They had a house, you know, there in the country, not in the city, right? So they're not used to it. So when they were visiting, him and the boy decided to go out and walk on one of the trails. Walking around the house, the dad looked back, and he froze. There above the child was a snake hanging down from a tree. Although he didn't know if the snake was poison or not, and it could have been, right? He suddenly shouted, "Run, son, run!" And the boy did. He ran to his father. Now, why did the boy run? He hadn't seen the snake. He didn't realize it was dangerous or not. All he knew that his father had yelled, "Run." And so he did. He obeyed his father, and he escaped potential danger that was just inches away from his head. And if you've ever been to Florida, they're hanging in the trees. It's just a fact. Trust me, you got to pay attention, not to where you put your feet, but where the tree sticks are. But they were from the city. They didn't know this stuff, right? In the same way, God wants fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, uncles, and any male who has influence over a younger person to be a model of obedience to how to listen to God. Obedience to God saves us from potential danger and heartache. God wants us to model, be the model of a godly person to those we influence. So, how do we teach obedience? Jordan Peterson, a famous psychiatrist, he once said, being a father is a relationship. It's a relationship that you have to develop. Anytime you spend with a child one-on-one, teaching them, talking to them, playing with them, listening to them, walking with them, teach them how to work on a card, any words of encouragement, that's what they need to know to learn to be an adult. And they learn by being around their role models. We influence young people by investing our lives into their lives and by modeling the characteristics God wants for us. Whether you're a father, a stepfather, a grandfather, an uncle, whatever, you model it. Now, one last thought on Joseph. Joseph was not Jesus' blood kin. He was a stepfather, and Joseph literally adopted Jesus as his own son. Now, years ago, I heard something, read something, I actually don't remember, but it made a difference in my thinking. A person noted that a few of the great men and women in Scripture were not raised by their biological moms and dads. In a sense, these great people were adopted. Last week, we talked about Esther, and we've been going through this thing. Now, we don't know what happened to Esther's parents, but she was raised by Mordecai, her uncle, to be the woman who saved Israel from destruction. She was adopted. Several weeks ago, we did Samuel. Samuel's mother gave Samuel to the priest to be raised, and he spent his entire life in the tabernacle serving God, anointing kings and Israel's judges. He was adopted by them. And of course, there was Moses. He was adopted and raised by the daughter of Pharaoh and ultimately led his people, the people of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. Each one of these people became great people for God, and they were all adopted. Just like Jesus. And just like us sitting here, did you realize when you became a Christian, you were adopted too? God took you and made you one of his children. He didn't care about your background or your education or your parentage. He loved you so much that he made us his children and works within us to make us the kind of people that can change the world. God adopted us. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says to us Christians, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, we're heirs, heirs of God. Fellow heirs with Christ. We suffered with him in order that we now be glorified him. He adopted us when we believe that Jesus, he adopts us when we believe that Jesus was the Christ and the Son of the living God. And we repent of our sins, and I'm buried in the waters of baptism and become come out fresh and new. Now, we're adopted. But how much did Joseph really teach Jesus? Now, a carpenter, when you read carpenter in the Bible, is not technically a wrong translation of technion. But the word means so much more than carpenter. And when they originally translated the Bible, they translated carpenter. It is a master builder. Joseph was a master builder. He could work with stone. He could work with wood. He would have been able to do all, because what do you have in Jerusalem? A lot of stone. He was a master carpenter. Technion means master. And if you read the Bible, illustration after illustration that Jesus shares has to do with carpentry or stonework. He learned from his father, his earthly father, and he passed them down in the illustrations that would mean most to the people. His earthly father taught him to be a technion. And Jesus' illustration, whether it's a plank of an eye or the cornerstone or all these, are all of his earthly trade. In place after place in the Bible, we read the actions of unnamed people, people who never spoke, as Joseph did. In Judges chapter 7, we have Gideon's 300. Remember, they start off as 22,000, and then they got whittled down to 10,000. And so 300 Jews attacked a herd of the enemy, and they all went running, carrying jars and swords. Not, you don't have the record of most of their words. Faithful men and women stepping out of faith. How about the boy with the two fish and the five loaves of bread? You never see a word he said, right? And he fed 5,000 people plus women and children and men. He was faithful. How about the widow's offering at the temple mount? Never have her word recorded. But she changes everybody on what they do in tithing. How about the innkeeper? Okay, you see no words that the innkeeper said in the Bible. Everyone like the pictures of them saying there's no room in the inn. They said there was no room in the inn, but it's not recorded in the Bible that the innkeeper said it. We don't know what the innkeeper said, but he allowed them to stay in the stable because there was no room. How about the paralyzed man on the mat that was healed, dropped through the roof? You learn a lot from him, but not a word of his is recorded. The Bible teaches us the good and the bad. But like men of modern day, the Bible teaches us by actions. Actions say a lot more than words. You ever met anybody who had two faces, said one thing and did something else? No, none of you have ever had to deal with that, right? You've never had to work with anybody who you had to watch what you say or did around, right? Bible teaches us what to do. We are blessed to be the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. And on this side of heaven, you'll never understand all that means. You do not go to heaven as a servant. You go to heaven as an adopted son and daughter of the Most High God with full rights of sonship. I like that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm used to being a pastor. What do you do? I'll figure it out. I ain't leaving it aside for 10,000 years, right? Then we might get off the ground. But Joseph speaks volumes to fathers in many other places in the Bible. It actually speaks to all, but since this is Father's Day, fathers, we thank you for being godly examples in a world that has forgotten the importance of fathers. Now, we need to close in prayer because it's time for coffee, because how many of you have got lunch dates out for your Father's Day? I want you to notice we ended 5 minutes early so you can make it to your dinner, okay? We're being gracious, but we need to close in prayer because you all deserve a wonderful Father's Day, and we thank you for being godly men and godly women. I don't want to leave out the women, but There's nothing more special than a godly spouse. Changes everything in the world. You can handle anything that comes, whether it be cancer or whatever it be. With a godly spouse, you can handle it. Woe be to the ones who don't have that. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of Joseph, a man who said nothing but accomplished much. A great example for us. An example of obeying your word. An example of what a true father is. We thank you for his example. Now bless each father in this room. Bless each mother. We especially ask an extra measure of grace of all who are going through challenges this week. May you guide them, direct them, and empower them. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.